together. I love being with you people. Roger wanted to share a little with us this morning.
Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your many blessings, look what God hath done. You know, you need to teach your children that song if they don't know it. I woke up, and that's what I was singing in my heart this morning. But I learned it when I was real small.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wanted to, Glenda and I both want to just say thanks to you all. Thank you, church, for ministering to us this past week. I mean, you sent flowers, you sent food, good food. You sent your blessings. We got text. We got phone calls all from the church. And people went to the funeral, didn't even know anybody there, but maybe Glenda and I or whatever. But it was just a display of love that the church showed us. And I thank you very much. And that was part of my blessing counting that I did this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. This morning, I'm very pleased that I've had a couple of y'all come up about wanting to share some of your encounters. You know, we've been doing this in series, Encounters with God, and I've invited you, if you would like to share an encounter, to let me know. And this morning, I have the distinct honor of introducing Jeannie Real. She's going to share an encounter she had, or more, I don't know, with God. So if you would like to do that, you just let me know, and a couple of y'all have, and I appreciate that. We're going to get to you. And you have 5 minutes. This is a five-minute hourglass. So Jeannie, come on. Let's give her a big hand as she comes.
Thank you, Pastor. This is our scripture for today. 1 Peter 1:8. And above all, love will cover a multitude of sins. Well, I know for me, love, his love, has truthfully covered a multitude of sins. But that isn't what I want you to know. You know, we have encounters with God even before we're born. We don't even think about them. But if you look into Scripture, it says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. What a precious gift it is to have life that God has given us, a simple life. Nothing really fancy, that we had parents that loved us to the best of their ability. We didn't have to worry about anything then. Our parents made sure we had food and that we had clothing. And that was an encounter with God. As we were children, we were free to go play. We didn't worry about people hurting us or I like to climb trees. I think my mother probably worried more about me falling out of a tree than anything else, but I liked it up there. And that was an encounter with God, a very simple encounter with God, being safe in your surroundings. And you know the God that loves us? He still wants us safe in our surroundings. He gives us a home to live in. He gives us food. He gives us a bed to sleep in, shoes. This place is built on holy ground, so he gives us a place where we can come and just stand on holy ground. He gives us a family. Our families, most of us that raised us, are no longer here. Some of us are blessed to still have parents alive, some of us are not. But you know, this body, the simple body here, is our family. It's part of a much bigger family that God has in all the churches, all the Christian churches, all across this country. But this is our family. We help each other. We build one another up. We pray for each other when we have surgeries or just when we're struggling, sometimes financially, sometimes emotionally. Sometimes we struggle spiritually. And that's what I want to really tell you about is your daily encounter with God. You know, we have all these wonderful encounters. I think the first big one would probably, for a lot of us, be the first time we had communion. And we confessed our sins to a loving God and understood that the blood covered those sins and that the bread, that simple bread, was his body. And that body is within us. The body is the Holy Spirit. And when we accepted him as our Lord, that simple spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three in one, came, and that was a huge encounter when God put his spirit within us to guide us. It could be cooking a meal. It could be balancing your checkbook. It could be mowing the lawn God gave you. They're all things that the Spirit allows you to do. Maybe sometimes the simple encounters of being able to get out of bed in the morning and praise him for getting out of bed in the morning. But the encounter God wants most for everybody, myself included, is that morning encounter. Or if you're not free in the morning, that lunch encounter or that evening encounter where you stop and you sit in God's presence. Sometimes you read his word. If you don't have the time to read his word and you're driving back and forth to work, now we have all kinds of media where the word can be read to you if you can't read. That's the encounter God wants most, and that's the most important encounter, I would say, in my life is my daily encounter. I would encourage you, like God encourages me, to find a place by your favorite chair or someplace where you feel comfortable and safe, or a desk or somewhere you can go and be alone with God in that daily time. And everybody goes, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time for God. Well, how would you feel maybe if God didn't have time for you? I've walked through many things in my life. I'm a widow. I have been for 2.5 years. And you know what? Every day God has taken care of me. Sometimes you guys have helped me an awful lot. Sometimes Darcy has helped me an awful lot. Or Sean. And the purple thing Darcy made for me when she lived with me. You know, those are encounters with God. Those are the God gifts. Maybe sometimes it's a walk on a Sunday just to enjoy the beauty of God's surroundings. I mean, how long has it been since you stopped to look at a flower and how intricate it is, or the stars in the sky that are beyond number? Those are our daily encounters with God. And I encourage each one of you to seek God first, to put him above all else. And you know what? When you do, a lot of the fear goes. A lot of the hatred goes, the unforgiveness from your past. Some of it is yours. Some of it is for other people. I think it's easier to forgive others sometimes than it is to forgive yourself for the things you've done wrong. But you know, that blood that we just drank covered all of that. So don't let the devil ever beat you up about the things you've done, the things you said, the things you forgot to do, the things you will forget to do. Okay, or the things you do wrong, or the things you do right, or the things, I don't know, he beats us up on so many crazy things. Just don't let him, because the Spirit of God is the one that lives inside of you, and he has defeated the enemy, and you don't even have to worry about it anymore. God bless you all. You have a great day, and I love you all. And this keeps falling off, but this is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Thank you, God.
Wow, I love that. Wasn't that good? Yeah. You know, some of y'all, you think about sharing an encounter and you think you get nervous. You know, one of the greatest fears is speaking in front of people. And you think, I can't do that. I won't be able to get the word straight. Well, you know, all of that stuff is part of the whole deal. Just your it's your message. It's your encounter. And we need to hear it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So please share with us. And thank you so much, Jeannie. That was awesome. Thank you. So in this series of encounters, today I want to share out of the book of Habakkuk. And I haven't done a lot of preaching out of that book. His name is only mentioned twice in the Bible, and it's both times in the book he wrote, written about 600 years before Christ, just before Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, and Daniel and all the Hebrew children, you know, the gifted ones were taken captive. It was during that time. And so Habakkuk is a prophet, and he is seeing the rising threat of Babylon and the, you know, imposing army that they had and the condition of the people of Israel. And Habakkuk is struggling with what he's seeing. And Israel is not in a good place. They have kind of forsaken God, and there's a lot of injustice going on. There's a lot of evil and tragedy happening in the nation. But Habakkuk was a different kind of prophet. You know, most prophets speak on God's behalf to people. Habakkuk didn't do that. All of his is him addressing God. He doesn't speak to the people. He goes to God. And that's what the book of Habakkuk is about. And so he is very much wrestling with the injustice that he is seeing around him and the wickedness that seems to be prevailing. And he offers a couple of complaints to God. And the first one we start here in Habakkuk 1, verse 2. He says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted." Can you relate? Wow. I mean, it sounds like he's been watching the news. I mean, life is just terrible. The Bible is totally neglected. The wicked just seem to be winning, and they're not punished for their sin. There's misery, corruption, violence. I mean, we just saw yesterday and this weekend the rampage that went down in Texas, and I heard there was another one last night somewhere. All of these people that are being murdered, there's arguing and fussing and fighting going on. And this is what Habakkuk is feeling. And he has this bold prayer to God, a very bold prayer. "God, I keep asking you to do something. You're not doing anything. It's like you're not even listening to me." And, you know, we can relate with that. And You know, I know one of the things cries on my heart is the next generation that just doesn't seem to be getting it as a group. Now, there are many that are, but we have failed the generation that comes behind us in so many ways, and we see the effects of it. We see the effects of addictions that are almost every one of you in this room, myself included, in some way our families have been ravaged by addictions that our loved ones are suffering through, or you or me, myself, might be suffering through. And like the disciples, you know, in the boat there, it's Jesus sleeping. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, you see this coming out of Habakkuk, and God answers him. And in 1:5, the Lord replied, look around at the nations, look and be amazed, for I'm doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away, and like eagles they swoop down and devour their prey. So God gives Habakkuk an answer, and he tells Habakkuk, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to use the Babylonians. And then it's like God has this, man, they are wicked. I mean, they have the best army. I mean, it's like God, I mean, it reminds me of the book of Job, where the devil comes into the presence of God and God says, hey, where have you been? It's almost like they're friends. I don't know. Satan says, I've just been roaming around to and fro the earth. Yeah, well, have you seen my servant Job? I mean, it's like God's just having this, you know, encounter with the enemy. And here when he talks about the Babylonians, he said, it's almost like he just commends them for being, they're so cruel, they're violent, they're conquerors. They're notorious for doing what they want to do without regard to anybody else. They got the fastest and the fiercest horses. Their charioteers, they just swoop like eagles. They're so skilled in what they do, they can just come like a sweeping wind. And my interpretation is like the Tasmanian devil. You know, he just from here to there. They don't regard authority. They overcome anything they attack. And they do it all so quickly. I mean, it's like God is just, you know, having this moment. And Habakkuk responds to that with his second complaint. Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out, oh, Lord, our rock. You have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? So, you know, Habakkuk hears the Lord's response that he's going to use Babylonians, and he goes, what? These people are more evil than the evil people you are trying to deal with. This doesn't solve anything. The medicine is worse than the disease. How can a holy God use wicked heathens? Can I answer that question? Because that's, in light of God's holiness, that's all he's got to work with, is wickedness. We will never be good enough for God without a miracle from God. Hallelujah. Don't doubt God's ability to use the enemy to do things God wants to get done. That's called the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. You know, when Peter is preaching in the book of Acts and the 3,000 get saved, he's addressing this huge crowd, and he said, Jesus, you delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. He's rebuking them for putting Christ to death. But it was a definite plan of God. And they will be judged according to the evil that they have done. But remember, Jesus said, no one takes my life. I lay it down voluntarily. So it's interesting to see this people that are moving in their own free will to execute Jesus, and at the same time, that evil deed is accomplishing the will of God. Hallelujah. You look puzzled. So Habakkuk is not really satisfied with God's reply. He's like, I don't know. So in Habakkuk 2:1, Habakkuk says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Now you got to give it to Habakkuk. This is brash, you know? And so he climbs up in a watchtower, a defensive position where guards and sentries are posted to look out for the enemy. He goes up there and he says, I'm going up there and I'm going to see how the Lord will answer my complaint. And I appreciate his tenacity to enter that awkward place of uncomfortableness with God and approach the Almighty with a true complaint of what is on his heart. And, you know, there's a respect that God has for that. And I remember well when I was a teenager living with my mom and dad. I was probably about 16, and I'm seeking after the Lord, and I'm praying about things, and I'm asking God to do some things. And I asked God to do something, and he didn't do it. And I remember so well getting my Bible out, turning to that passage that says, if I ask anything according to his will, he will hear us and he will answer us. And I remember very well opening that up and standing on my bed and holding it up and said, God, you said it. I did that. And I didn't realize it, but God had answered my prayer. Today I might approach that a little bit differently. But I can identify with the sincerity of Habakkuk here. That he is sincerely asking God to do something, and that's how he approached. And he goes up to this watch. I mean, can you imagine? I'm going up, you know, God, you're going to use these evil people? Come on. I'm going to go up here and just see what God has to say about it. And so God answers Habakkuk again in chapter 2, verse 2. Says, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Now, it goes on for a while, but allow me to share you the Bubba version of this interaction. God tells Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to chisel it in stone. Just like the Ten Commandments were chiseled in stone, chisel this in stone. I want it clearly written so that anyone can read it. I want it to be so plain that any messenger can take this message that I'm writing down. I want it to be so clear that any messenger can confidently say what is being written here. I want no mistakes. I want no misunderstandings. I want no smudges. It's going to be in stone. I want everyone to know this will happen. It's at the end of time. It's on my calendar. I have an appointment. I will not be late. It will happen. I'm decreeing it will happen. Just be patient. It will surely come. It will not be delayed. I don't know how God could make it any plainer. Make no mistake, this is going to happen. So what did he tell Habakkuk to write? He said, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. He basically says there's two types of people. There's proud people that trust in themselves, and there are righteous people that live by faith. Now, the book of Habakkuk is only 56 verses, but one of them, verse 4, is a bedrock of Christian teaching. The righteous shall live by faith. In the book of Romans, when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, he then says, for the righteous shall live by faith. In the book of Galatians, where we have the justification by faith, and we learn the doctrine that our salvation is not based on works, but on the grace of God, there included on those few verses is the righteous shall live by faith. In the book of Hebrews, when Paul is talking about the things that we go through in life, and we should not shrink back from following after God. God would be disappointed in that. And he says, because the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous living by faith is not just salvation, but it's also by living by faith in the middle of an evil and a perverse world. It takes faith. Hallelujah. Are y'all out there this morning? The same faith God called you to, gave you to call on him for salvation, is the same faith you use to overcome in this world. Hallelujah. God's promise, he will overcome evil. He will deal with violence and oppression. He will deal with the never-ending cycle of revenge. It will end, and he will use evil to bring down evil. It's not an endorsement of evil, but it's the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. And so he tells Habakkuk, write this down, and there are five indictments that God brings about for future judgment. And I want to run through them in verses 6 through 11. You can read these later. But the first two indictments are about unjust economic practices. People that destroy lives through the unjust acquisition of wealth, taking advantage of people and their money, charging crazy interest rates, taking advantage of elderly. We see this on the phone all the time, where people are scamming people. The greedy, the uncaring, those that turn a blind eye to the needs that are around, and they have resources that they could share. The Scrooges of this world, God will deal with us, will deal with them. Suffering, the Bible says in this passage, that suffering will rebound on the head of the oppressor. And I don't know how this happens, but they will be taunted, ridiculed, and scorned. And their walls, physical walls, will literally cave in. Their greed will bring them to ruin. Those are the first two indictments. The third indictment is against criminals. Criminals will be dealt with by God. Those that are cruel and shed blood and commit crimes and slavery. The time is coming that nothing, the word says, nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. The fourth indictment, and this is one of, if there's a favorite indictment, these next two are mine. Those who exploit weakness. You know, there's people that appeal to the weakest part of our nature, the most basest part. And we see addictions because people exploit weaknesses. We see drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography, gambling. We see the ravages of addiction all around us, the waste of potential as people are overcome by addiction. And addictions not only cause that person problems, but they cause problems in relationships all around them. And God says, I will deal with them. The addictions bring shame, and they take dignity away from people. And Habakkuk tells us that this judgment will include these people that have exploited weakness. They will experience intense bondage and shame for what they have done. Ezekiel says it this way, drunkenness and anguish will fill you, for your cup is filled to the brim with distress and desolation. The same cup your sister Samaria drank, you will drain that cup of terror to the very bottom. Then you will smash it to pieces and beat your breast in anguish. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. So God speaks a judgment against those. And the fifth indictment is an indictment against those who lead people down destructive paths. Those that use their influence to influence others in ways that are ungodly. God will deal with the engine that drives this evil, false religions that lead to deception. He will deal with Islam and their ways of committing terror and control over people. He will deal with atheism that denies the very existence of God. He will deal with humanism, the vanity of humanity is what that is. He will deal with movements that are rooted in anti-God thinking, evolution, that denies the creation, denies the creator of the majesty that he deserves because of his creation. He will deal with the pro-choice movement and their path that leads to destruction while destroying the most innocent among us. I learned this week of Mario Lopez. How many of y'all have ever heard of him? He's the very cute, pretty boy, you know, he's a very attractive, handsome man. And on June the 23rd, he was interviewed by a talk show host, and somehow it came up about this actress, Charlize Theron, who has a son, and the son is 3 years old, and he said that he was not a boy, and she is allowing him to identify as a girl at the age of 3. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Yeah, you just heard it. And she thinks this is all good, that she's being a great parent because she's allowing her child to express himself, and she's going to allow him to choose what his identity is. And when Mario Lopez and this talk show host were talking about this, Mario Lopez said that he thought this was dangerous and alarming, and he was kind of pushing back against it. And after the show was over, he was vilified for this position. I mean, Twitter just went crazy after him to the point that he apologized for being ignorant and insensitive. God tells Habakkuk that he will deal with people who shape the thoughts of others and influence others. You know, the great thing about God is he allows us to make our own choices and decisions. And the great thing about God is that he will illuminate us. If we seek him, we will find him. If we really want to know the truth, he will give us the truth. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But if you don't want to know God and you want to go about your own path and make your own decisions, he will allow you to do that too. But God will judge one day those who shape their own thoughts, those who trust in the own creations of their minds and lead others down that destructive path. God sums up his thoughts and he says, evildoers will be disgraced, exposed, shamed. They will be cut down. They will be terrorized. And then he says, what good are your idols now? This is what he told Habakkuk. Write it down. He goes, write down. I'm going to say, what good are your idols now? They have deceived you. They cannot come to your aid at this moment. They cannot help you. They can't even talk. They're a self-made creation. And then he said in 2:20, he says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Man, there is going to come a day when all creation will stand before God and God will declare what is right and what is wrong. And we will hear a pin drop. And at that day, beloved, you want to make sure you're on the right side. Hallelujah. And then Habakkuk, he puts down his chisel and he sings. And he says in chapter 3, verse 2, he says, I've heard all about you, Lord. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. Can we read that together? Let's go. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. And he goes on for 13 more verses. And it tells us that God will spare the righteous. Just like he did in the first Exodus and the seas parted for the children of Israel to go across, he will part the seas again. Hallelujah. And the hand of the Lord will be so strong that mountains will tremble and the sun and the moon will stand still and he will destroy the enemy with his own weapons. Wow. And then Habakkuk, like so many before him, he shares what went on in his soul to hear God reply to him as he stood in that watchtower. I will now stand and hear what the Lord will say to me. And the Lord spoke to him. And then Habakkuk said in verse 16 of chapter 3, I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Wow. Beloved, something happened in this encounter where Habakkuk felt one way, then he had an encounter with God, and he feels a different way. And we need to tremble and quake. Maybe it's not physically. It might be if you have a sharp enough encounter. But something about God's plan, God's mercy, and God's judgment needs to cause us to be sober-minded. And let me tell you, we need to stand strong in the day of wickedness. We need to tremble and quake. Not that we will be vilified by the wicked, but that we have adopted the right message. Let me ask you a question. Who is winning the war of influence in your life? Is it God's whisper or the world's megaphone? Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The medicine that heals the brokenness of this world is in God's word. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not heard, believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Now, beloved, let me ask you a question. Are you a preacher? The answer is yes, you are a preacher. And how are they going to hear unless you preach? Now, you may not have a pulpit, but you have a mouth, and you have friends, relatives, neighbors, you have influence. And the world is sending out their message. And God expects us to preach His message. Hallelujah. And you might be thinking, how do I do that? That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. Beloved, our walk is a walk of faith. God told Habakkuk, make the vision plain. The evil that is around and surrounding you will be dealt with. Look beyond what you see with your eyes and remember His word. And Habakkuk's encounter caused him to realize that God is powerful, that God is good, and that God is in control even in the existence of evil. And God will ultimately prevail. And beloved, you and I can trust God in the middle of this evil age. In the face of puzzling circumstances, in the face of addictions that are all around us, and evil that is all around us, you will make it through by faith. Hallelujah. And let me leave you with this. So before Habakkuk's encounter, he's frustrated, he's angry, he's upset, he has this encounter with God, and it changed his whole outlook, his whole mood, his whole demeanor. And I just want to close by reading the last three verses of Habakkuk and what he said. And this is what he said. Even though the fig tree has no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Now that's quite a turnaround from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. And sometimes we need a turnaround in our hearts, don't we? We see the wickedness, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Stand to your feet. Let me pray a blessing on you. Lord, we've come together today. We have been honored to assemble together with our brothers and sisters and offer our praises to you, Lord, for the mighty things that you have done in our lives. We've, Lord, been able to respond to your request to remember the sacrifice that you made and share communion together. And Lord, we have now looked at the prophet Habakkuk and looked at his life there and what he was experiencing and the message that you gave him and the plainness that you wanted it to come about, make the vision plain so that anyone can read it and so it won't be lost, chisel it in stone. And Lord, that message that you are the victor. And so Lord, it's with that message, Lord, that we want to interpret life. It's with that message, Lord, that we want to live our lives. And Lord, while people will make their own decisions, Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, I pray that over every person here in Jesus' name, that their decision, that how they will live their life will be a life that is pleasing to you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, it's by faith that we follow after you. It's not our faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. Lord, you gave us the faith to even approach you. And so, Lord, I pray that the faith of these people would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And God bless you and have a great week and share the word of the Lord with people.